Today's biggest stories, tomorrow's newsmakers in the capital city. Your host is Michael Cohen for the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Good evening, Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. Wow, it is definitely the end of August. If you have hay fever like I do, you're probably feeling it just as much as I am today. On today's program, CMU faculty members are back at work after striking on Monday. I'll talk to the head of the faculty union to find out what they plan to do next after a judge ordered them back into the classroom. And state lawmakers are in for an unpleasant surprise this fall if they attempt to enter certain bars and restaurants in Michigan, as they're going to be banned. We'll find out why. But first, incredibly efficient. That's probably the best way to describe the state's Republican-led House and Senate. After quickly wrapping up the budget this spring, lawmakers are back in Lansing today, wasting no time in passing new legislation. To talk about what happened at the Capitol today, I'm joined by Republican State Senator Mark Jansen. Welcome to the program, Senator.
Well, thank you very much.
Now, your first day back, and the Senate quickly rolls through two big bills, one involving public employee health care. Now, the measure caps employee health care coverage at $5,500 or $15,000 for a family. Another option, apparently, is having employees pay 20% of their coverage. Shouldn't these types of things be negotiated between the employer and employees?
Well, generally, they can be. Typically, in the past, they have not been. There are some that are, but bottom line is there are limited resources nowadays. The state gives billions of dollars to our locals and schools and local municipalities. And we have found time and time again that the cost of healthcare just continually goes higher and higher. And we think we have found a way that will help, you know, everybody, employees participate in the healthcare cost. And we believe will also help begin to drive the cost down from where they're at right now. So we think it's a good thing, and everybody keeps their job in the whole process.
How does this work exactly? Since there are these two options, will the employees be able to choose, or will the employer decide?
Well, if it's a local school board or if it's a local municipality, the governing board decides. But what happens is it automatically goes to the hard cap. But that board can just basically, with a simple majority, say, well, we'd rather do the other one, which is the 80-20. So they can choose that. And then if they are a local unit of government, they can literally, with a two-thirds vote of their commission or whatever happens to be, opt out of both of them without any penalties. It's just they've decided, hey, we do a better job. Lansing, stay away from us, and we're going to do what we've done in the past. Leave us alone. So they have that option as a local government, if you will.
A hard cap of $15,000 for a family. Any kind of a health crisis within a family could easily blow right through that. What would a family do exactly once they got into tens of thousands of dollars of debt when it comes to their health care costs?
Well, this is for the coverage of their insurance. So typically, if they have a Blue Cross, Priority Health, whoever it happens to be, $15,000 for a family plan is the most that the employer could spend under that scenario. So it's not how much they'll spend on their health care, but it's for their health care insurance.
Well, how much are they paying typically now? Isn't that about how much they're paying now, even without this legislation in place?
Yeah, they're really kind of all over the board. There are some that we found that are in the, you know, 10,000, 11, 12,000 range. We found people that are up in the $28,000, $29,000 range of annually for the cost of their health care. So they're really kind of all over the board.
Now, you didn't get the majorities in the House or Senate necessary to establish this for the state public workers. This only applies to municipalities, counties, and school districts. So in terms of on their end, what kind of cost savings do you expect this kind of this bill to create for them?
Cost savings for schools and for the state has been estimated schools for, let's just say a nice number, $500 million a year or so. For public entities, it's in the, I'm sorry, not public entities. We don't even know public entities. Nobody tracks local units of government very well, mm-hmm. except themselves. And so we don't even know what it's going to do there. But the state, it's estimated in the $100 million range. And since we can't do the state, because you're right, it didn't pass with resolution, the $100 million we can't save today, but I can tell you Governor Granholm and Governor Snyder really has begun that process. Mm-hmm. Granholm, when she was here, new employees were starting to pay 80-20, and now Governor Snyder is working with the unions and trying to negotiate something fairly similar. So even if we don't pass this and it didn't pass, the governors have already begun that process, actually a number of years ago.
I'm talking to Republican State Senator Mark Jansen. The second bill involved putting a strict cap on welfare benefits. The impact is going to be dramatic and sudden for over 12,000 families that will lose their benefits on October 1st. The House also passing the bill. So it's just a matter of the governor now signing this. And we're but about a month away before they get hit by this brick wall. And with our unemployment rate still over 10%, what's going to happen to these folks?
Well, that's a hard one. Going to be a variation depending on the people. You know, some are going to have to, remember, they're only going to lose cash assistance. They're still going to have food stamps. They're still going to have some of the things that the federal government will not let us really stop them from getting. So sometimes there's housing, sometimes there's daycare. And so there are other things that they're going to be able to do, even rent assistance. And I just had DHS, Department of Human Services, send out a flyer that said basically they're going to work with those folks. They're going to give them a little bit of time, helping them out with possibly some of their rent.
Mm-hmm.
And so helping them transition into, if they need a job, we're going to try to work with you to get them into the job market. So there is going to be, I think, anyway, DHS, some transition. You know, we've also got labor and economic growth, which is, I chair that department. And that budget, and we have, you know, there's been training and things like that we've tried to do over the years, and so there are things out there, but bottom line is they're going to be encouraged where they're going to have to go try to find some kind of a job.
Which is really the issue. I mean, with over 10% unemployment rate, I mean, we've got people out there that have recently lost their jobs looking for work. I mean, you're talking about a population that probably is going to have a much harder time finding a job than any other one.
Well, remember, if they're recent, they've got 4 years to be getting help, right? Because, you know, what's happened is there's been people on, assistance for sometimes they're over 4 years. Sometimes they've been, you know, even more years than that. We don't even know all the numbers. This is very common throughout the whole nation that other states did this years and years ago. And mm-hmm. So I think you're going to see us trying to help people transition through this process. Again, is it, is it the cat meow? Is it the best thing out there? It's going to be hard. I mean, we're making some decisions that are not popular, but, you know, we don't have the money we used to have. So mm-hmm. we have to get back on track. And I think, you know, for many of us, we're trying to be as compassionate as possible. But also, you know, there have to be some lines in the sand, and that's what we're trying to do also. So, you know, it's going to be tough. And I think our goal is to try to help folks get back on their feet as quickly as possible.
It doesn't seem like there's very much debate or discussion. I mean, you guys show up in town today and these bills go flying through. They're essentially at the governor's desk right now. With the majority the Republicans have, what's the situation at the Capitol? Are Democrats essentially being ignored when it comes to legislation and it's just simply being agreed upon by Republicans and passed right through?
Well, I can only speak to my Senate Bill 7, which is this 80-20 you're talking about, or the hard cap. I've been doing this for almost 3 years, and so it's been a public discussion with the previous administration. We drafted legislation, spent a couple years last term doing it. This year did the same thing. We've had hearings all year long. We worked on it.
Mm-hmm.
And literally in June, the Senate passed our version, which was 80-20 only. The House in June then basically started working on this hard cap idea. So we've spent, you know, literally this whole year again working on this idea and spent the summer trying to make sure the House's version and my version, I call it marrying those two together, but trying to figure out, give locals an option of one or the other.
Sure.
So we spent all summer doing that. So yes, today was a quick, we did it, but it's called a conference report. You can basically, you take it or leave it, and you say yes or you say no. But we spent literally almost 3 years on this issue. So it's, yes, it's fast today, but it's been a long, long process.
I just have about a minute left, but I do want to ask you, I mean, we're looking at all these votes essentially going down party lines. I mean, all the Democrats are voting against not only the budget, you had the redistricting map issues. I mean, when you see a situation like this where there's basically zero bipartisanship in state politics at this point, is that a good thing?
Well, I would disagree that there's not agreement between, if you kind of track all the bills that we vote on, you know, these kinds that you're talking about, they're often big policy issues because we've been on a path, we've been on a road in the past, and it didn't work out as well as we all like, so now we're on a different path, and it's going to be a policy, big policy difference. But I can tell you there are dozens and dozens of bills we've passed out of the House and Senate. There's Democrat bills. I just had a hearing in Detroit with some of my committee members. There's a lot we do together, and we work through things, and even as the bills come out, I have, you know, Democrat members who help me, you know, turn this bill into a better bill. And so there's a lot of that going on that people don't hear about or see.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, the bigger policy ones you're talking about, yeah, they're party line, but there's so many others that are not. They're joint. We do them together and things like that. So it's not as bad as that. So I just want to add that little little piece there.
Sure. Understood. Republican State Senator Mark Jansen, thank you very much. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but hopefully we will talk again soon. Thanks for joining me.
My pleasure. Thanks for calling.